Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. We got to get rid of wimpy prayers. God, if it's your will, heal me. Because don't you get it? Your authority is in his name. He says, ask the Father anything in his name. Believing without doubting, that's the big part of it. And it'll be done for you by your Father in heaven. If you've ever asked and it wasn't done, either your motive was wrong or you didn't believe, you doubted. So how many would say, let's declare war on doubt and unbelief? Amen? And let me say, doubt and unbelief isn't about what's in your head. You can choose what you believe. You do get a choice to believe with your head, but the faith is in your spirit. Amen? So you first choose what you believe. See, I choose to believe God's word, period. I just choose to believe his word. Well, don't you hear what the scientists say? Well, I choose to believe God's word. And true science lines up with his word. Amen? Amen? So I can choose what I believe. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God from the Holy Spirit making it real. Amen? And so I've got to build up my faith. Faith is supernatural. It's a substance in the spirit realm that takes my beliefs and puts connects it to God's power. Amen? God's faith takes my beliefs, what I believe. And the only thing that connects to God's power is his word. Amen? And he takes what I believe, what I choose to believe. And by faith, it connects to the power of God. Amen? And everything proceeds from the Father. That's been my word. Everything proceeds from the Father. Healing proceeds from the Father. Power to turn storms proceeds from the Father. Without the Father, there is nothing. Amen? There's nothing we can do. It's not of ourselves. It's this divine connection with God. So I'm going to teach finally from the word on a Sunday morning. I always teach from the word because almost everything comes out of my mouth is the word, even in normal conversations with me. But I'm going to let you follow along. So let me find the part we're doing, because we're going to be doing a teaching on Tuesday, how honor and belief are connected to your healing. How you have to actually honor God. You have to honor his word. You have to honor what he says. And if Satan can get you to dishonor that, then he can stop the word. That's why there's a lot of people in church who don't really honor Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that he's just the way to the Father. The Father and Jesus are one. Amen? Do you mean, I believe there is the Father who's an all-consuming fire. I believe personally he never leaves the throne room. I believe he's an all-consuming fire. I believe he's spirit. He's all-consuming. I believe he looks just like Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. I believe Jesus Christ came forth from the Father. It says in Colossians. And he's like a portable version of God. It's like God. So I'm going to come forth and begin to create. And he came forth as the Son, as the Word of God. And he began to create. It's in Colossians. And he creates everything. Amen? Isn't that cool? And everywhere he creates, there goes his spirit. There goes his spirit. There's nothing that's outside of him. He is the box. And so anything that God wants to do on the earth or in the heavenlies, wherever, he does it through his Son, who came forth from him, who looks just like him. Amen? And the whole idea of having children and they look like us was a God idea to reveal something about our God. How cool is God? Nothing created by our God does not reveal something about our God. You don't always see everything's prophetic. Just about everything's prophetic. Now, Satan tries to pervert that. Amen? Satan likes to pervert everything about God. His kingdom of darkness is completely designed as a perversion to the kingdom of light. Anyway, So let's go to Mark 6. Let me see where it's at. All right. Mark 6:14. And Herod the king heard for his name. I'm reading from the literal because it's the closest to the Greek. And Herod the king heard, for his name became publicly known, and he said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. And because of this, works of power operate in him. So we have Herod wondering what's going on with Jesus. Everybody's hearing about Jesus. Herod is a ruler, and he's like, what's going on with this Jesus? And all of a sudden, Herod feels very afraid and guilty because he had John the Baptist beheaded. And he's thinking, oh no, he's come back from the dead. Which makes you realize that Herod was so impressed with John the Baptist that he actually thought that he could have been God. Or definitely something very powerful prophet that could come back from the dead, right? So here we have Herod upset about what he's heard about Jesus, because Jesus' name is now publicly known. And he's speaking among his peers or the people around him. He says, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. And because of this, the works of power operate in him. Others said Jesus is Elijah. Others say he's a prophet or one of the prophets. But hearing this, Herod says, this one is John whom I beheaded. So after the fact of Herod beheading John, it's tormenting him. It's tormenting him. This evil thing he did lurks around every corner. How many know we need the blood of Christ to come and heal us from evil things we've done in the past? We don't want that always sitting there looking at us saying, this is going to torment us for all of our lives. Amen? And you see this kind of torment in Herod, right? Herod goes, no, it's not Elijah. It's not another prophet. I tell you, it's John, the one I beheaded. He has risen from the dead. Now it's going to tell us a story about what happened with Herod and John. He says, for having sinned, Herod himself had seized John and bound him in the prison because of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, because he married her. So Herod had married his brother's wife. And obviously the brother's still alive. So basically he did away with his brother, or something happened to Philip, and Herod married his sister-in-law. Now John said, now listen to this. Where is the church today? And I'm talking to them. We are so afraid to speak what God would speak, because they might take away our church, or they might take away our business, or they might boycott us or whatever. How many know we need to get back to being bold for God? How many know we need to say they made them male and female, there's no exception? And we need to pray. We need to do it in love. We need to do it with a heart to set people free and heal them. We have people who've come to this church who've been completely delivered from homosexuality, having completely normal married lives now, married to the sex they were supposed to marry, the opposite sex, and having families. You would never, ever know. We have people who've struggled with not knowing if they were a man or a woman, or feel like they're in the wrong body. And we've watched them fight. We've watched them believe. And I believe the only reason they're not free, they still have some lie they're not believing. The minute you quit believing the lies of the enemy, you are free. It's not a hard thing. There's not something harder than another. What the enemy loves to do is make it so hard to believe what God says by, you know, politics, and by this doctor says that and that doctor says this. People, we need to believe what God says, period. Amen? What he says. Now, he's going to give us interpretation on things. He's going to show us different things, but we need to believe what he says. All right. So now Herod's reliving. He says, Herod himself had seized John and bound him in the prison because his wife, because John came against him marrying his sister-in-law. For John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have the wife of your brother. And Herodias held it against him and desired to kill him, but was not able. This is something I really want us to see. This gets in our hearts, okay? This thing that I want it hold against somebody. Okay? We need to get completely out of our hearts anything that we held against somebody. Maybe you didn't go as far as wanting to kill them. Maybe your thoughts did. But you'll see here, she wasn't able to have him killed. Herod wouldn't listen to her to have him murdered. But this plan to, I really even believe, destroy Herod. When you see how Herod thinks about John the Baptist, I believe Herod was very close to salvation. I believe Herod was very close to salvation. And he wouldn't even kill John the Baptist, even when his wife really wanted him to. But she held it in her heart. That was a seed of murder that got in her heart towards John the Baptist. I encourage you to get some of the teaching or come on a Tuesday night. If you have any kind of hate in your heart against a parent who abused you, against an ex-spouse who you, if you still have bitterness in your heart, you've got to get it out. It will destroy your future. It will destroy your, it will destroy anything of your future. It'll be passed on to your children as iniquity. This woman was so upset that someone talked to her husband about what was right in the eyes of God and what was wrong with their relationship. And she took a spirit in of murder that had demonic power. Herod would not let her have him put to death for whatever reason. Said she wasn't able. Which really does show you Herod genuinely, I think, respected John. Now let's read what happens. For Herod feared John, knowing him to be a holy and just man, and therefore he kept him safe. Herod had a fear of the Lord. Boy, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. Right? Right? Here is this leader who met John and talked with John and knew he was holy. You know, how many know we need to get where people know we're holy? They need to have a fear of the Lord. There need to be a reverence that this person knows God. I've told this story before when we bought this building and the city called me and said, you can't put a church there. I already bought the building, $500,000. How much money did you have? I had like $200 in the bank. How did you do it? It was God. I did it with fear and trembling. Within a month, I had to have $30,000 down. And somehow, by God's grace, the small little church came up with it. I still to this day don't understand it all. Then I finally got the city to say, okay, you can have it after 8 months of spiritual warfare. Put a thrift store here in between. And then they wanted $300,000 of like trees and stuff. I'm like looking around like, you're going to make me put, I couldn't put the trees from Lowe's. I had to put the trees from the nursery that they approved that were $1,000 a tree. I had to put lights out that were $1,000. And then they tell me, don't run them at night because you'll bother the people in the mobile home park. It was like just one ridiculous thing after the other, to be quite honest. Well, guess what? All of it's paid off. It was all paid off 10 years before the loans had to be paid off. Even while we were doing that, we took over an orphanage and paid their bills and bought their building. Whoa. We take care of the Philippines. We go take people in Michigan. And I'm going to tell you, it isn't because of any one person. We've had people leave who had money or we're not paying anymore, and it didn't even faze us. It scared me, but it didn't faze us. Amen? Because God is the one who takes care of this. And we all need to remember that in our life. So he's amazing. It still always makes us have some fear and trembling. Amen? Like, oh, God, you know. But we got to really start trusting him. All right. Herod feared John, knowing him to be holy and just man, and he kept him safe. Oh, what I was going to say, by the time I went back to the city after they told me no, I said to them, they said, well, you're never putting a church there. I said, well, God didn't ask me to ask you. He told me to buy the building. You and God work it out. And after I did some, broke some power of some Freemasonry stuff and did some things God had taught me in an 8-month journey. And the whole time having the same bills as if we had a church meeting here, and we didn't have a church meeting here. It was amazing. It was so scary, but so God taking care of you. And I walked in to the Lord woke me up one morning. He goes, now it's done. Now go. And we got there. Thad was with me. And they treated us like royalty. Come on in. And he said, ever since you were here last time, and you put this between us and God, there had been heart attacks, there had been cancer, there had been, his wife was in jail for embezzlement. There was all these things. I never cursed anyone. Amen? I never cursed anyone. We only prayed blessings. I'll only pray blessings on people. Amen? But God got a hold of their hearts that I don't know what, but something about this woman knows God. And they gave us everything we asked for in this church, like that, without even opening the paperwork. Amen? Was it scary? Yes. Are the stories great later? Yes. Most everything you live through that glorified God really scares your flesh. Amen? And you don't like it at the time you're going through it, unless there's something wrong with you. Amen? There's something wrong with somebody who likes to suffer. They need to be free from that. Amen. There's something wrong with somebody who look. You don't have to look for trouble. It will come. Jesus promises. Amen. Has anybody lived a trouble-free life? Do we need to compare trouble? In this room, I don't think we want to compare our troubles. Amen. I think we got plenty to pass around. If you haven't had many, praise God. Amen. I always say you don't want to be in the top 10 at Beauty for Ashes. Amen. Because you really got a hard time. For Herod feared John, knowing him to be holy and just, and kept him safe. And hearing him, he did many things and gladly heard from him. Herod built a relationship with John the Baptist while John was in prison. And John was a really fiery prophet. Repent, repent. This is sin. This is sin. This is sin. Can we start acknowledging that there are different gifts and callings in the body of Christ and God knows what he's doing and quit trying to make up excuses for them or apologize for them? I'm not apologizing for pastors who come along and make you feel cozy and comfortable. Amen. But I'm not apologizing for prophets who come along and show you your issues and your sin and you better deal with it. Or apostles who want to get everything straight according to God's word. Amen? Or evangelists who just want everybody to go out there and save everybody. Amen? God has put together his church the way he wants it. And we're to honor that. Amen? Quit comparing things. Just smile and be who he's called you to be. And a suitable day having come, when Herod made a dinner for his great ones on his birthday. Anyway, he had the important people there for his birthday. It's Herod's birthday, and he's got all the big shots in town, all right? And the first ones were from Galilee. The daughter, now this is not his daughter. This is his brother's daughter, probably. This is his stepdaughter herself, comes into the room. And having danced, and I doubt it was the most holy dance. She danced to please these men that her stepfather was entertaining. Do you see any dysfunction in this? Amen. These are heathens and there's dysfunction. She so pleased Herod and those that were sitting around with him that the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you wish and I will give it to you. That had to be some dance. Amen. Let me tell you that Jezebel can really stir up garbage in the Ahab. The Jezebel spirit can dance. She can show her body parts. She can twist her hair. She can bat her eyes. And all the time, the enemy is using her to destroy people. The enemy used that generational curse from this girl's mother that got on her to seductively come in to an already messed up room of older men and seduce them to such a pleasing place of demonic passion or perversion that her father, stepfather, in front of all these important people said, I will give you up to half my kingdom for that dance. And they're all thinking, I mean, He knows he's probably a little drunk by now too, right? At this party. The king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you wish and I will give it to you." And he swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give to you up to half of my kingdom." Going out, she says to her mother, "What shall I ask?" Now think of this. She could have had her own palace. She could have had rulership over all of this. She could have had as much money as possible. She could have had whatever. Talk about a soul tie with her mother. Talk about codependency with her mother. Talk about the enemy setting this thing up. And so she says to her mother, she can't even, you know, she's not even thinking for herself. She says to her mother, "What shall I ask?" Look how quick the mother knew what to get her to ask for. The one thing she could not convince her husband to do was to come against that holy man, John the Baptist. Did this woman at all love her husband? No. She doesn't care if he goes to hell. She doesn't care. She doesn't care that he's being kind of changed by this relationship with John. She doesn't want the change. Don't marry someone thinking you're going to change them from being evil to being holy. Amen? They'll begin to plan how to destroy whatever in your life is holy. They'll begin to plan how to get you out of church, how to get you away from your Christian friends, how to isolate you. Amen? That's why the Bible says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, I'm not talking about believers. I'm talking about someone who is evil. They're living an evil life, and you think you're going to change them. She wants the head of John the Baptist. That came right out of her mouth. Was she thinking about her daughter? Obviously not to let her go in and dance anyway, right? What a bunch of perversion. But she could have said, "Oh, you know, this is a perfect time for you to get, you know, that palace there or get set up with these servants, and you could go, you know, you're so wise, you could go and rule over this part of the kingdom or whatever." No, all she wanted was to get even with that person who came against her marriage. She wanted to get even with that person who judged her as unholy. How many know this stuff is all out there in our world? How many know this is just like this political group wants to get even with this political group, and this political group wants to get even with that political group? And when I was reading this, the Lord said, you need to get any kind of let's get even out of your heart. A let's get even thought could be where you wait for them to fall. You may not have ever prayed it. You may never really wanted it to happen. But when it happened, there's kind of a, I knew that. It's the kind of thought where what they did to you or didn't listen to you or didn't do what you wanted gets a grip on your heart. And all of a sudden, you don't really, really sincerely, deeply, in your head, you might say, I really want the best for them. But in your heart, there's something that says, ha. Now, I know I'm probably just talking to myself. I'm sure nobody in this room ever has any of these issues that you all just get to come and hear my confessions every week as God sanctify me, make me holy. And everybody says, nah, not true. Well, okay, maybe one of you aren't saying that, but you understand what I'm saying. When God puts these scriptures in there, when he teaches us, when he convicts me of something, it's usually, I don't share it because I think, you know, this is a confessional. I share it because I know if I'm dealing with it and I'm the overseer of this church, God probably wants some other people free. And in your heart, there's like, yeah, there's this, I never would have done like this. Well, praise God for that. But yeah, I kind of would wait to see if they fell, or I kind of wait to see if that didn't work out, or I'd kind of go, I knew that was going to happen. Amen? And Lord, put on my heart, we need to get this out of our hearts. We need to get this out of our hearts. A lot of what's happening right now to destroy our nation is the antagonism between two political parties that do not, they're not supposed to be leading this nation. They're supposed to be representing the people in this nation. They're not our leaders, they're our representatives, but we've made them our leaders. So the blind are leading the blind. And we've come under the delusion that we shouldn't have a say. The church needs to have a big say in this nation. This nation was set up for God's people. This nation was set up, this nation was not set up for evil. The enemy got in and very quickly, early in our history, brought in evil. Amen? But that wasn't the intention of God. The intention of God is to have a nation that would do his will, a nation that would honor him, a nation that would worship him, a nation that would not make an institution of worship, not have a religion in charge, but a nation that would honor God. And so God wants us to get these things out of our hearts. And I just encourage you, really write down that scripture and go home and say, God, is there anything in my heart that's ever wanted to get even? Is there any evil in my heart that wanted to see someone fall? This evil of wanting to see a president fall is a disgusting evil in the heart of almost half of our nation. But did you have it in your heart for any other leaders? We need to get this stuff out of our hearts. We need to get this stuff out. If you left a church and they were mean to you, did you ever want to see that person fall? Do you understand what I'm saying? God says, get this spirit out of your heart. And look how bad it can go if you don't. She said, I want the head of John the Baptist. Now, everybody knows that daughter didn't think of that. That man, Herod, he knew this came from her. What a great marriage they must have had, right? I mean, she's like, I'll show you. You won't do what I want. I couldn't manipulate you. I couldn't control you. I couldn't talk you into it. I couldn't threaten you. She waited for the moment. The moment that she could get even. What a terrible way to live your life. What a terrible way to live your life, waiting for the moment to get even. Waiting for the moment for them to fall. Waiting for the moment for them to have a disease. Waiting for the moment for something not to go right. Come on. How many know Satan puts this in people's hearts? Let's get it out of our hearts right now. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you, Holy Spirit, the sanctifier. Father, you know the seeds that were planted in the hearts of all of us, specifically planted by Satan, with the intention of getting even, with the intention of something evil being released. And right now, we come before your throne, and we ask you to forgive us. I want everybody in agreement to say, Lord, forgive me. Father, deliver me from every evil intention that was ever sown in my heart. I forgive the people who hurt me, who disappointed me, who misunderstood me, or who blatantly abused me. I forgive them. I separate them from the evil they did. I place the person in your hand. I want the best for them. I want your best for them. I want you to save them, deliver them, and set them free. You're their judge, not me. And I break this judgment off my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, God might show you more of these, okay? This isn't like a one-time thing. He may say, you know, you did this here, and you did this here, and you did this here. You don't even want a seed left in there, right? How do you know? Because you'll have those thoughts, like, why am I thinking that? That seed's there. Then you go and say, God, why am I thinking that? And he'll show you. Believe me, Holy Spirit loves to show you this stuff. It's his job, amen? One of his jobs. And immediately going in with haste to the king, she ran and she said, I desire that at once, before you can change your mind, before you can talk mom out of this, I want you to give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And having become deeply grieved, he knew, Herod goes, oh, I've been set up. This is horrible. This isn't what I want. You almost can like Herod. But you can see the impact of someone with a demonic spirit taking advantage of someone who's just trying to do what's right. Starting to learn about God, wanting to get back right with God, someone whose heart wants to get back right with God. You can see the demonic spirit operating to destroy that relationship with God. We need to really ask the Lord, open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes. Get this out of our hearts. Don't let us be the person who could try to make somebody else destroy somebody else. But Lord, also get it out of our hearts that we would not be like Herod, so concerned about what our friends think, so concerned about a word that we speak in a birthday party, drunken state, and now to save face, we've got to do what we said we have to do. Herod could have said no. It would have been hard on his kingdom. He might have even lost the kingdom. But he still could have done what's right in the eyes of God. It is still held to him for his part in this. Amen? He's still responsible for going along with something that was wrong. And we want that out of our hearts. Lord, break off our codependency, our entanglements. Break off our neediness to impress people. Break off our neediness to have our friends think we're cool and look what we're doing. Lord, break off this neediness that would cause the fear of man and other people and what they think ordering my steps instead of you. I want my steps ordered by God and God alone. And when you don't want your steps ordered by God, you are going to pay the consequences of not having your steps ordered by God. And every day, just like with Herod right here, we're recognizing Herod had an opportunity to say no to the enemy, and he caved to save face. How many know you can let your reputations go? Amen? You can let your reputations go for God's purposes and glory. You can look weak to other people. You can look like you don't keep your word when it should have never been spoken. Amen? You can let somebody, I guarantee you, if he didn't do it now, how many know that his wife would have really, really shown her demonic side? But he would have been right with God. He'd been much closer to salvation instead of going to hell. He's deeply grieved, but we need to get rid of this but in our lives, amen? Because of the oaths and those reclining together with him, the king did not wish to reject her. The fear of man, what will I look like? What will people say? Will I look foolish? Why did I make such a quick decision about something? And all these things are running through his mind. Everybody in here has had times when these kind of things run through your mind. Amen? And I just want us to learn, do not go in the direction of that which you already know is wrong. See, we dig ourselves in so deep because we told everybody and we made a big deal about it and we showed this and we did that, but we didn't spend that time with God. Sometimes the enemy sets up things he's done in our hearts and in our lives and pains he's put in us and all these things to put us almost on a roller coaster ride that we're on and we almost don't know how to get off. Amen? And you're always supposed to stop and hear God. You're always, well, what if everybody thinks I'm foolish? What if everybody thinks I was in a hurry? What if? Amen? Lord, I'm gonna do what you want me to do. I'm gonna give this example. When we were NIH, National Institute of Health and Research, for my son, who was very, very sick at the time, and I didn't want to be there. But my husband wanted to be there because he wanted all the care possible for my son. And this place was just so strange. Like the Lord told me, don't say you know me when I walked in the door. I've never had God tell me that before. But I realized they'll take away your parental rights as a Christian if you don't agree with them. So the Lord knew that. I didn't. Anyway, so the first day we're there, they do all these tests and things on my son. It was horrible. His blood was squirting all over the room, and they took out so much blood it almost killed him. They tried to talk him out of his body through hypnotism. And I said, God, what am I going to do? He said, plead the blood. He can't come out of his body. He'll take demons back in with him. So my son had to feel the pain of a bone biopsy, whatever. They take out a piece of bone to check the bone. It's very painful. It wasn't a bone marrow transfer, but they were checking his bone marrow. And then I said, well, what am I going to do? He's going to feel this. And the Lord said, then you just pray, do an inner healing, which I did. And we went in, the doctors were like, we don't understand. Usually at his age, you know, but he's really a smart kid. You know, usually would tell them to see themselves on a beach or a golf course, and they just kind of leave their bodies. And I'm like, God, you people are crazy. And I said, I'm doing everything I can to keep him in his body. I know we leave our bodies, but we'd just prefer to leave on the last day that we're on the planet. Amen? And so I went through this horrific day, just this horrific day. And they just waited till the very, very end. They sat us in this little room. It was so demonic. I'm not kidding. And I'm not saying everything there is. I know they've made great breakthroughs. But this was very much a demonic thing. And they wanted me to sign papers that he had this disease that was a generational curse kind of disease. In other words, his children would have it and this and that. And the Lord kept saying, he doesn't have this. And I just wouldn't do it. Anyway, but the pressure... First, it was a terrible day. The pressure. They even called us at home, the doctors, all this stuff. I won't get into all of it, but it caused a big divide between me and my husband for a short time. I had to really seek the Lord. I really had to humble myself and submit unto the Lord. And it's going to be another, it's on some teaching somewhere. But the bottom line was the pressure to do what everybody wants, and even for good purposes, but it's against what God tells you, can be so extremely intense. I'm not talking cute little stuff. I'm talking about the pressure to do what you know is right in the eyes of God. No matter if it makes your husband mad, no matter if the doctors are furious, no matter if people say you don't care about your son. Let me tell you what. That doctor died of a brain tumor. And Lord had me write him a letter right before that, telling him about Jesus Christ and how he wasn't my son's savior, that Jesus was my son's savior, and that my son would live and not die and glorify God, not him, but that he needed Jesus. He even told me about his background, told me how he was bullied as a kid, how he was hurt as a kid, how he was called ugly as a kid. And because of that, he had to make a name for himself, but he was not to make a name for himself by coming up with the disease and saying people had it who didn't have it. And I said, God wants you to accept Jesus Christ. And the next time we went to the doctor, about a month or so later, he died of a brain tumor. I hope he received that letter. He may be in heaven. Especially with giving him a word about his childhood. Amen? Life is real, everybody. Life is real, and it's very spiritual, and we need to get our head out of the natural bubble of just living life like we don't know Jesus Christ and begin to live this life as real believers. Amen? So I want you to understand the intensity of what God shares in his scripture, not just flippantly go through it. This is a man under extreme pressure to do what all his friends just heard him saying. They're all laughing. Come on, yeah. What do you care about this Christian? What do you care about this guy talking about God? Here's his wife in the kitchen. You're not going to be able to get out of this. You thought I wasn't going to win this. Here's the daughter looking at him, and he knows she wouldn't want that. Think of all the pressure and how many know he caved. How many know he's probably not in heaven? How many know he could have been a powerful influence for the kingdom of God? The king would not reject her request. And the king, sending a guardsman at once, he ordered his head to be brought in. And going in, they beheaded it, John, in the prison. And they brought the head in on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother's. To her mother. Look at the codependency. Look at the entanglement. Look at that need for that girl to do whatever her mother said. Look at how that mother had such control over that girl doing such evil. Look how the husband, who was already in a sinful relationship, look at God's mercy. Look at God's mercy to have John the Baptist imprisoned, but with favor to try to save the soul of Herod. I'm going to tell you, any situation you look at, you will see the faithfulness of God. Any situation you look at, you will see the faithfulness of God if you will look hard enough. If you quit looking at your little view of it, you will see God faithfully trying to prevent you from doing something that's wrong. You'll see God faithfully leading you. You'll see God helping you to deal with all the emotions you need to deal with. This is such a situation of a family that went to hell that could have been saved. But they chose their entanglements. They chose to be led by this extreme dysfunction. And when I was reading this story and the Lord started giving me all this, I'm like, wow. We need to get free from entanglements. We need to get free from the fear of rejection. We need to get free from doing things that grieves the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to calm down and do things led by the Spirit of God. We need to not be led by lust. We need to not be led by this flesh thing that was happening at this party. We need to not have these kind of parties. Amen. See, sin takes you deeper. I guarantee you when Herod decided to have a birthday party and invite his friends, I don't think for 5 seconds he thought, this is going to be the day that I murder a holy, holy person who knows God. What came down to in his life, and we need to get this lesson. It's a good time to put down your phones and get the lesson. You choose either the fear of God and doing things right in his way, that he will go out of his way to rescue you. Or you choose not to reject what needs to be rejected. You choose to fall into the trap the enemy has set up. And you choose to be led by what you hope is going to work out okay when you're in your party, lustful, fun time, instead of stepping back and saying, God, deal with the entanglements in my life. Give me healthy relationships. Herod needed a healthy relationship with his wife. He needed a healthy relationship with his stepdaughter. How many can see in this? There was no healthy relationships in this family. Amen? God wants us to go back and deal with every unhealthy relationship we've been in and walked away with vengeance in our heart. Well, I'll show them. I'll show them. I'll get even. Maybe you've been rejected. Well, you know what? I'm going to find somebody better. God don't want you trying to find anybody. Amen? God will bring people into your life, and he will do it in a way that he gets the glory. He will do it in a way that you've been healed from those past pains. He'll do it in a way where you'll have a strong relationship. I know y'all just love going to church here, don't you? It's a happy hour. How many want to be holy? How many want to be cleansed? How many want the enemy to lose all his authority and power? How many want what God has for you in relationships? Amen? How many want to recognize that Satan is constantly working at trying to set us up for rejection and failure? He's always working to make us feel rejected and fail and to make us feel like something's wrong with us. He's always, always trying to cause us to identify with what he's done in our lives and what he wants to do in our lives instead of who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? I am a daughter of God. God is my dad. It doesn't get greater than that. Jesus Christ is my Lord, and he's also my bridegroom king. It doesn't get better than that. And there's no relationships that should take the place of God in our life. I'm so thankful as God has taken these years to set me free so I can be a wonderful mom. I can just love my kids unconditionally and teach them and be there for them and pour into their lives. They're adults now, but they know what I'm going to say. And they know I'm not going to compromise. Your children should know what you're going to say before you ever have to say it. That doesn't mean you won't show mercy. Sometimes you need to demonstrate mercy. Mercy is, this is what you deserve. But I've really prayed about this, and I really feel like you've really repented, and God showed me your heart. So this time, I'm just going to give you mercy here, and I'm not going to make you have to follow through on that consequence. But just know, it's only because I've really prayed about this, and I feel like you've really repented. Don't teach your child nothing but legalism, people. If you teach your child nothing but legalism,
they will never understand mercy. And if they ever get in a really bad place, they won't be able to come to you because they'll be too afraid of the consequences. You want your children to understand the mercy of God. You want them to understand why you're releasing mercy. Amen. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. It's not a cute little thing. There's times, I told him this story before, but these are the ones he taught me these lessons on. That's why I remember these so specifically. But I ran into somebody's fancy mailbox. Why can't I just run into a $29 go buy it at Lowe's mailbox? But no, I run into some built brick thing with, you know, probably a $300 or $400 mailbox. I back into it, dropping my kids off at a birthday party. Now, Lauren had died recently before that, but that is not why I ran into the mailbox. I ran into the mailbox because I am not the best person backing up a car. I now have a camera and I'm much better, thank God. But they didn't have cameras back then. Had nothing to do with me being upset or anything. I just was probably talking to Don on the phone, but not holding the phone, whatever. And when I saw it, I thought, oh, and my heart was, I just don't want to put this on John. We've been through so much, and now he's got to come fix this or pay for this, because I wasn't working at the time. I'm like, oh, I just don't want to put this on John. So part of me, I drove away thinking maybe nobody saw me. I know, this is years ago. But I got so convicted before I got to the end of the driveway. The Lord said, get back up there and write a letter with your phone number and put it in that mailbox. So I went back up there and I wrote that and put it in. Told him I was so sorry. Didn't say, oh, my daughter died recently. I didn't use that to get anything. So I put in the mailbox and I just started asking for mercy. Because God said, what you need is mercy. Mercy is they're not going to make you pay for that mailbox. Mercy is they're not going to have your husband go and have to fix it. And it was more, we had the money. I just really didn't want to put anything else on John, to be really honest. Believe me, I ran into John's 280Z and destroyed that sucker. He knows my backing up is not something. I ran into one or two of his trucks backing up. He never parks behind me anymore. So hitting this mailbox was little compared to my track record for backing up. It was really bad when I backed into his 280Z, because that was his, we were young, just newly married, and he got a 280Z. You know, was it a 280 or 260? Maybe 260, because we're old. 260Z. But they were made of fiberglass or something. Do you know what happens if you hit fiberglass? It just goes away. It's like, where's the front of your car? So I'm driving. We lived on a steep hill. So I was up here in the driveway part. Now, I thought he went to work like an hour ago. I didn't know his car broke down at the bottom of the driveway, and he's fixing it. So he's watching me come right down the driveway, and he's like, all of a sudden he jumps out of the way, thank God, and I just totaled the car. I mean, it was gone. He was like crying. He's like, I said, what happened to the front of your car? It's gone. He goes, you could have killed me. I said, what are you doing home? You left an hour ago. Don't you ever look out the back? I said, well, I would at the bottom of the driveway. Anyway, we're still married. And I did get a big bonus from my job of like $400 or $500, which I handed him when I got home that day. But and then the truck was right before I went to church. And he had to come into church after seeing his child. I didn't stop telling that one. But anyway. So it wasn't like, how could you drive like that? It was more like we were under so much. He was under so much stress and so much going on. Our daughter just really recently died. So I just asked God for mercy. Well, when I pull back up to pick up my sons, the neighbor runs out. This is a different neighbor. They go, oh, this is the nosy neighbor. They're like, excuse me. Do you like remember anything when you were leaving? And I'm like, you mean like running into the mailbox? And they're like, yeah, well, you didn't stop. I said, well, if you'd look inside the mailbox, I put a note in. See, they didn't see that part because that was after God convicted me. And they were, oh, we're so sorry. We didn't know. The people called me and they said, don't make me cry. They said, Cindy, your family has gone through so much. We do not want to put this burden on your husband to come fix this. We don't want a penny from you. We just want you to know we're praying for your family. We're praying for you. And we really don't care about that mailbox. God said to me, that's mercy. It wasn't a big deal. Can we learn things in little deals? I've been through enough big deals. I'm ready to learn in little deals too. Amen? How many would like to learn everything in little deals and maybe avoid the big deals? If it's probably too late for most of us, but you know. But I'm telling you, there's this thing called mercy. I don't know how I got on this topic, but anyhow, God is merciful. So when we come to him, he never wants to give us what we deserve. That's why he died for us. He gives us, listen to this. This is really for parenting, this is for relationship. He gives us what we need that will really help us to be more like him. Amen? He gives us what we need to be more like him. He wants you to parent through his spirit. So you'll know when to give mercy and you'll know when to give judgment. A kid who's headstrong, rebellious, lying and manipulating, they don't need mercy. They need some strong consequences until that breaks. Amen? But a kid who messes up sometimes, or God may just say, give them mercy this time so they will not be afraid of you. Amen? See, everybody, put together a parenting book, put together a marriage book. You can't. You can just take God's different ways of doing things led by his spirit and apply what needs to be applied when it needs to be applied. Amen? We need to make sure we don't let evil people and evil in the world stop us from believing God and his word and who he says that we are. Amen? We've got to trust God. We've got to become people of God. We do not want to end up like Herod, who was on the path to righteousness. Think of the mercy of God to take this horrific leader. Think about this. This horrific leader who, whatever he did to Philip, we don't know, but he married his sister-in-law, took over Philip's children. You know what I'm saying? This horrifically lustful, messed up leader. And what does God do? He puts the most powerful evangelist of all time and prophet right in his sphere of influence, and they become friends. Don't tell me God wasn't faithful to Herod, even though Herod decided not to receive it. So, Father, we just pray today, Lord, with all these things you taught with this one little true life story in your word, we pray, Lord, that you help us get free from entanglements, that you help us, Lord God, be led by you, that we have such a fear of you that we would never have to try to save face. We would never want to hold on to any kind of bitterness, that we would deal with the issues of the heart from the past so they don't affect the now. Holy Spirit, only you can take this powerful word of yours and do so many different things in our hearts. You're amazing. Your word is amazing. The things you teach us from your word that apply to us today are amazing. Lord, give us ears to hear. Lord, I just pray that every person in this room got exactly what you wanted them to get. And we just break off anything the enemy wanted to twist and make them think it was about them. Lord, right now, let everyone know this message wasn't just for them and designed just for them. Everybody says, did you do that? No. This message I didn't even have until I came here and began to preach it. This message is from the Holy Spirit. This message was designed for you and what he wanted to do in your life. This message was designed for you, every one of you, for exactly what he wanted to reveal and deal with, including me today. And so receive from him whatever it was that he put in your heart. Seek him about it. Ask him about it. And do not be led by the fear of rejection. Do not be afraid to reject someone who needs to be rejected because of their evil intention. Have the fear of the Lord and quit trying to impress people and deal with past hurts. Father, we ask you to work these things in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.